The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey there, Buffalo Bills fans. Welcome back to Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast here on BuffaloRumblings.com and everywhere else you go to get your fine podcasts. My name is John Boccacino here on Believe, being joined by Jamie D'Amico. We are roaring along with our State of the Buffalo Bills offseason podcast series. Hard to believe, Jamie. We are past the halfway point in these. We spent a lot of time in our last episode talking about the defensive line, an area that has caused a lot of concern and consternation for Bills fans heading into 2021. And this week's topic is one that, while there's not as many players, obviously, at the linebacking room than there are in the defensive tackles and defensive ends, linebacker is still a topic that is a really hot button issue, it feels like, for Buffalo Bills fans, albeit one that has become a little bit more clear with what the team has done this offseason, starting with the extension that Matt Milano re-signed, a four-year deal worth approximately $44 million with roughly $26 million guaranteed. It's a deal that, Jamie, I don't think a lot of Bills fans thought Brandon Bean could pull off and execute given the tight nature that Buffalo had against the salary cap. So let's start there. Before the offseason, I know I didn't think Milano was going to re-sign with Buffalo. How surprised were you with the move?
I was super surprised because it seemed like Matt Milano wanted to test free agency and he wanted to get top dollar. And lo and behold, they figure out a way to bring him in without crushing their salary cap. He came in for under market rate and I never saw it coming, but give kudos to this current administration with the Buffalo Bills. People love playing there. And I think more than anything, that's why Matt Milano is back.
He easily could have tested the market and gotten a Levante David type of contract offer. You know, he could have easily excelled. And I stand corrected. It's $24 million guaranteed, not 26, but still, to pay him 24 guaranteed over 4 years, I believe the hit in 21 is only $7 million, which again, for a cash-strapped team like the Buffalo Bills were, financially, this deal is a dream come true for Brandon Bean because, again, you know, he talked all year long and all offseason Bean did about wanting to run it back, wanting to bring back his own key free agents. And with the fact that Milano, who vastly outplayed his fifth-year deal, could have tested the free agent waters and decided not to, that's a huge sign, like you said, to players wanting to play in Buffalo, what Buffalo is building, and the fact that Buffalo is a free agent destination. I love the fact that Milano's back. I love the fact that it's on a team-friendly deal. And when this domino fell into place, everything else kind of became gravy because, you know, Buffalo's, if you lose Milano, now you're talking about uncertainty at your best cover linebacker, uncertainty at your number two, your outside linebacker, and really in a market where there just weren't a lot of quality linebackers out there. Matt Milano was going to be the name. So all around, I give this deal an A+. I mean, honestly, it's one of those. I was so stunned when I saw the contract offer and the contract numbers come through that you're like, this is just, it's unbelievable.
There's no other way to put it. I mean, I just can't be more excited about a player coming back. He's in the prime of his career. And we saw this past season what happens when Milano's not on the field. The defense just falls apart. Tremaine Edmonds, his play drops way off when he doesn't have Matt Milano next to him. And Tremaine Edmonds, there's a name.
Yeah, Buffalo's starting middle linebacker is obviously one of those very key cogs on the defense, and he forms what Buffalo Bills fans thought were going to be the solid quarterback of the defense when he was taken number 16 overall in that 2018 draft, along with Josh Allen, the number 7 pick. But Edmonds has definitely disappointed. I mean, let's be honest. He made the Pro Bowl last year, and I'm not really quite sure what numbers they were looking at to give. It must have been reputation alone, because Edmonds definitely had a below average season. I know he was battling injuries. I know he was definitely not healthy, but he and Milano, actually, Jamie, this is a good talking point, because I think Buffalo Bills fans are quick to judge players on their health. And obviously you're only as good as when you're on the field to compete. Before we get over there to Tremaine Edmonds, I want to talk about Milano and this injury status that seems to have come with him these last couple of years. People think he is an injury-prone guy at times, and he did miss 6 games in 2020. And like you said, the Bills were worse off without him. You saw it against the Tennessee Titans on that Tuesday night game. You saw it against the Kansas City Chiefs when they ran wild Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and the Chiefs ran for 200-plus yards. Do you think that Milano is an injury-prone guy, or is this just a streak where it happened during the most unusual of years?
I don't think he's injury-prone. I think that he has had a couple of injuries. He had the broken ankle at the end of the year a couple seasons ago, and then he had the injury this year, but the majority of the time he takes 100% of the snaps and he's on the field. And, you know, we sort of feel like he has this reputation, but the statistics just don't bear out.
Well, and I think that the absence of Milano is magnified when he's not out there, because then you're talking about, you know, thrusting AJ Klein into a starting role and seeing more snaps for Tyler Matakevich, who should only be a special teamer, even though he's got a pretty hefty salary for a special teams only linebacker. I was looking up during my research for this podcast, and the previous 3 seasons, Milano missed 4 total games over 3 years compared to the 6 in 2020. So I'm not willing to put an injury prone label at all. I think he's a tough, durable linebacker. And really, Jamie, what gets me the most about Matt Milano, I was disappointed, as were most Bills fans, in the AFC Championship game with how Buffalo failed to contain Travis Kelce, because the first matchup with Kansas City, Milano was not out there. So when he comes back, you're thinking, all right, you know, his skill is in slowing down and containing the tight ends. And that was just not the case in the AFC Championship game. But I'm willing to write that off as losing to a freak of nature who is one of the top 2 tight ends in his position out there in Kelce. I want to go back to Milano, and I know we're spending more time on this, but this is the State of the Bills Linebackers pod. Milano's skills are so underappreciated, I feel like, not by Bills fans, but just by the metrics folks across the league. And maybe that's why Milano didn't get more money on the market, because it's hard to look into his numbers and it's not like he's an aggressive guy who gets after the quarterback, but his abilities in pass coverage, his abilities to, again, match up with the better tight ends in the league, that to me, Jamie, that's why if you take him out of the equation, Buffalo's defense is exponentially worse. I know that's a Captain Obvious statement, but that's why it's so exciting to have Milano back, because he brings skills to the table that Buffalo doesn't have otherwise.
In order to get recognition across the league, what you need is to be a sexy stat accumulator. The sacks, the tackles, and you need to just keep piling on in order for people to take notice. And the way the Bills defense is set up, tackles are funneled to Tremaine Edmonds, and guys like Matt Milano are filling gaps and staying in their lane and reacting and taking on blockers, keeping people off of Tremaine Edmonds. And that's really why we're seeing him overlooked, because if he's doing a good job in coverage, they're just not throwing to his guy. And, you know, that doesn't really end up written down in the stat book. But if he lets his guy get open and his guy, say, tips the ball up in the air and then he intercepts it, you know, it doesn't show in the statistics that he had poor coverage and got lucky. It shows that he got an interception. So that's why he's not getting the recognition we as Bills fans think he deserves, because we as Bills fans see him game in and game out, really at times dominating and being the best player on defense.
You're right. And he does have those flashes where he is the best player. He is a game changer. I think it's important to note that tackle stat where, yeah, everything does get funneled Tremaine Edmonds' way. So Milano gets a lot of freedom to see the field and to react as he needs to, which, again, he has totally outplayed what his contract was as a fifth rounder out of Boston College. The knock on him his first couple of years in the league too was he wasn't the best in pass coverage, but in the run stuffing too, he could be pushed around a bit when a team was getting their big guys moving downfield trying to run the ball on Buffalo. And he really has improved in his abilities on the run defensive side of things. As well, he's really become proficient in both man and zone coverage. I don't know. That's why, to me, Jamie, you know, we did this debate where, you know, last offseason, if Buffalo could only bring back one Deion Dawkins or Matt Milano, and I know I went with Dawkins because of that blindside tackle protection was more important. But Milano, now that he's back, I'm just having such an appreciation for his value on this team, because he really is the prototypical linebacker that Leslie Frazier needs, someone who's good in zone, someone who's adept and skilled in man coverage, and he can blitz pretty well too without it being so blatantly obvious that he's going to come rushing off the edge.
That is an underrated aspect of his game, for sure.
All right, so we've broken down Milano. We're glad that he's coming back to be one of the anchors on this defense. Now let's switch over again to Tremaine Edmonds, who is another one of those. He, almost more so than Milano, is a lightning rod for critics in Buffalo. And maybe this is one of those cases where the hometown boy is scrutinized more locally than nationally, because, again, Tremaine has a reputation as being one of the best young up-and-coming linebackers in the league. He made his second Pro Bowl this season. He did finish second on the team in tackles behind Jordan Poyer. And the Bills have an interesting decision coming up with Tremaine Edmonds, and it's the fifth-year option. Before I give you my thoughts, Jamie, break it down. What do you think about Tremaine Edmonds and the fifth-year option for Buffalo's middle linebacker?
Tremaine Edmonds is a great athlete, but I think that if I'm the Buffalo Bills, I don't exercise that fifth-year option. Did you expect me to say that?
Nope, I did not. I actually think we disagree for one of the few times in recent history. Tell me why you don't want to give him the option.
Well, I think he's overrated, and he's put into a position to succeed with the Buffalo Bills. And we've seen it this past season. He is not the most instinctual player out there. He gets sideline to sideline really well. He does make some excellent plays, but you know, when an offensive lineman connects with him, he's run right out of the play. And for somebody whose job it is to be the main guy on the running plays, he's got to do better than that. And I think that you could light a fire under this guy by not exercising his fifth year option and then signing him for slightly less money than you would be able to otherwise. Now, you have to make sure that he realizes that he's appreciated. And I think that you're better when you have more good athletes. And I think the Buffalo Bills defense does need some some more athleticism, at least from a depth standpoint. And you don't improve by taking away good players. And the only way I would decline his fifth year option is if I knew for sure that I had a plan to replace him should he decide to walk. But I don't think he's as good as his reputation nationally, and I don't think he's as good as what he'll be making under that fifth year, which is going to probably run him up into the 13 million category.
Yeah, it's a 12.79 million is the fifth year option figure if Buffalo were to exercise it for Tremaine Edmonds. People on this podcast know I'm a glass half full, optimistic, rose-colored glasses Bills fan. And that's been the issue with Tremaine, is I viewed him through these, you know, glass half full perspective, where he hasn't lived up to the status on paper of being the number 16 overall pick, this dynamic playmaker out of Virginia Tech. But I also want to give him some credit for, he was injured last year. Like a lot of the every football player is injured, but Tremaine Edmonds was really battling a series of injuries that I think took him away from his pure skill set of what he's able to do, getting after, shedding blockers, being that solid disruptive force that Buffalo is expecting. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt because of A, the injuries he battled in 2020, and B, and I get accused by my friends all the time of thinking that this man walks on water, but not having Star Latulale in 2020, I think really had an adverse effect on Tremaine Edmonds, because the guys were able to get through the first wave of Buffalo's defenses, whether it's Harrison Phillips or whether it's Ed Oliver. They didn't have the run stuffer that the Bills were used to in 2019. And that made Tremaine Edmonds, maybe his flaws were exposed because of that. I want to see what happens with a healthy Star out there and how that's going to boost Tremaine's play in 2020. For me, Jamie, I am picking up the fifth year. I am picking up the fifth year option. I don't know how much confidence I would have in the team to be able to work out a long-term deal with Tremaine, mostly because I feel like Tremaine would take it as an affront and he might get motivated, but he also might price himself out of what Buffalo is able to afford with this position as well. And look, I'm telling you, there's an article that was written after the offseason where Edmonds basically said he's got to go back to the drawing board. He knows people are sleeping on him. He's going to wake them all up and let them know what he can do. Now, clearly, those are just words. They're not actions on the field. But I think Edmonds already has that fire lit inside of him to be the best that he can be and to put the doubters, to silence them. I feel like Buffalo, if they don't pick up the fifth-year option, they're setting themselves up to see their 23-year-old linebacker walk versus coming back.
I hear that a lot, that he's only 23 years old, but at some point, the potential has to become production, and he's at that crossroads right now.
I just also feel like the term that gets bantied around about a lot is rare athlete, and yeah, the athleticism that Tremaine does display, you can't teach that. I mean, so that's why, right, I feel like if, and especially with his backfield mate Milano coming back, I'm so excited to see what this defense will do running it back in 2021, because if you notice, when the Buffalo Bills, they were a different team after the bye week, after the loss on the Hail Murray play, Buffalo's defense just turned it up to a whole different level. And Edmonds himself, I think he bounced back very nicely from he was getting thrown to the wolves the first four games of the season when Buffalo was just, and especially again, the Kansas City and the Titans game when they were running all over the defense. I just feel like Edmonds is one of those really good bounce back candidates who is going to thrive, if you will, in the defense in 2021. And if I'm Brandon Bean, I bring him back, especially knowing that the Bills definitely, they've invested so much time in this player. I know he's only 23, but think about it. The Bills drafted him, he was 20. He couldn't legally drink, and he was starting at middle linebacker. And I don't want to believe that those glimpses of potential that we see are just that, well, flashes in the pan.
There's also a case to be made that he's being misused. He was an outside linebacker in college. He's a middle linebacker for the Buffalo Bills. Would he be a better player at outside linebacker, where he can get after the quarterback more often, where he doesn't have offensive guards coming and blocking him on running plays. You know, I have always thought that he's miscast in the middle of the defense. I know why they want him there, because he's such a good athlete and he's excellent in coverage too. I think a case can be made that you use him as an outside backer, but they're not going to do that now because the Bills really only have two linebackers on the field at any given time, and that's Matt Milano's position.
Yeah, and I don't want to turn over the keys to the mic position to Milano, because he thrives at what he does being on the outside. And I hope that with seasoning and with more time to review film and study where he's coming up short, that Edmonds will again revert back to that linebacker that he was at Virginia Tech. It's really interesting, Jamie. I don't give a ton of credence. I mean, they are what they are. Pro Football Focus had Edmonds as the 32nd ranked linebacker that played at least 700 snaps. That's not good. But somehow he made the Pro Bowl based on that reputation.
That's not good at all. So do you extend a player that ranked that low? You say yes.
I say yes. I say yes with, you know, I say they give him the fifth year option, because I feel like that's what this, I think Tremaine Edmonds is the player that the fifth year option was built for. When it comes to same thing with Trey White, before the Bills got their contract extension worked out with their stud cornerback, you don't give the fifth year option to someone who could be a middling pro. You give them to someone who has those skills that show you the reasons why you drafted them. And I know I'm speaking in vagaries here, but I feel like if Edmonds wasn't a freak of nature athlete, I wouldn't give him this extension. But because I feel like he hasn't even scratched the surface on his potential, that's why I give him the extension.
I gotcha.
Kind of a broad theory to go off of, but that's what I would do with our fifth year linebacker.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Now, Jamie, I know there's other linebackers on this team, and we definitely want to spend a little bit of time on a couple of this motley crew of backups, starting with AJ Klein, who was another one of those fan favorite whipping boys for his just, I don't know, not flat out good play. And then something funny happened in 2021. AJ Klein actually had a period where he was Buffalo's best linebacker, and he showed exactly why Brandon Bean brought him in. Was that a mirage, or do you think Klein can build upon the solid play that he had in 2021?
Well, it's interesting because it seems as though Leslie Frazier tried to plug him into the defense to replace Matt Milano and just, you know, do sort of a plug and play philosophy with it. And that didn't work out. What they did was they figured out what he did well. And what he did not do well was get to the sidelines. And he's just not quite fast enough. He wasn't great in man-to-man coverage on running backs or tight ends. However, when they put him in the middle of the field and brought Tremaine Edmonds to the side of the defense, basically playing outside linebacker, we saw them put him in a position to succeed, and his play matched the quality of his hair. Yes, that's right. AJ Klein has some of the best hair on the Buffalo Bills, and it makes me jealous.
He definitely does have quite an impressive mane. And I think it's interesting to see, Jamie, that what you mentioned, you know, AJ Klein actually, believe it or not, was one of the better blitzers that Buffalo had. I was surprised at how proficient he was at blitzing from the linebacker spot and getting after the quarterback. But you're right, he is not someone that you want running sideline to sideline. He is a north-south straight line linebacker. He is someone who, if you go from point A to point B in the fastest, he will be a good asset as a linebacker. If you make him run the lateral moves, the sideline to sideline, he's going to get blown up and he's just going to be exposed for not being the quick linebacker that Buffalo needs. And, you know, he also is not that great. His strengths are in the run stuffing, in being a run stopper. He is not great in pass coverage. I believe he allowed 73% of the passes thrown his way to be completed. Ooh. That's not good, Bob.
Oh my God, that's terrible. 73%.
Three out of every four passes thrown AJ Klein. That's a double-edged sword because he also led the Bills in pass breakups. So you can figure why, because teams are like, let's throw at this guy. And he would break one up out of every four. And then the other three out of four, he'd give up his completions.
At 75%, how much higher would the completion percentage to be if nobody was covering the receiver at all? You have to consider that.
If there was just a black hole out there versus AJ Klein.
Right. And, you know, I like that they figured out what to do with the guy, and he seemed to take to his backup role pretty well. He's being paid handsomely as a backup, and I think they expected more from him. I think they expected him to be more of a Lorenzo Alexander kind of player that they could keep on the field regularly, and he just didn't quite show that ability. The Bills do put him on the field when they have three linebackers, and that's usually when the other team has a fullback on the field and they're too wide. He's going to stay a depth character in my book, and, you know, hopefully they can play to his strengths when he is on the field. And, you know, that's coaching. And part of the reason he looked bad out there is they didn't put him in a position to succeed. And when they figured out what they had in him, he looked a lot better. Credit McDermott and Frazier for figuring that out, but also subtract points and give them demerits because it took them a while to do that.
Yeah, you have to realize that AJ Klein is, again, a depth piece. I mean, he did show his skills in getting AFC Defensive Player of the Week in the Week 12 win over the Chargers, but he is not somebody that you want to be stepping in full-time as a starting linebacker. He's more of a 30-35% type of guy who, in small bursts, can definitely give you some productive performance on the field. And speaking of depth, Tyrell Dodson is also one of those guys who has shown some promise when filling in for both Edmonds and Milano at the linebacking spot. I thought he was going to get more of a look, and instead they gave it to AJ Klein to fill in. What do you think about Tyrell Dodson and his abilities?
An interesting player, because that's a guy who the Bills seem to like quite a bit. And I thought that he was a guy that was going to end up on the field and that they would hold on to. But it doesn't seem that way. He's a guy that the Bills held on to, even though he had a domestic violence issue. And I think they're looking at him as a depth piece. He seems like the kind of guy who's probably going to improve over time. He showed that he had a little bit of moxie out there on the field. But at this point, I don't see him elevating his play to the level of being a starter.
He's got two things going for him. He's a good special teams contributor, and he's athletic and can play all three of the linebacking positions. I feel like, therefore, he's a perfect depth piece, but nothing more. Someone who can fill in again in a competent fashion, but not be a anchor of the defense, which, again, the Bills are all about building up the depth at their key positions, which is important. You need guys who can, you know, be decent contributors when they're called upon. And I think Tyrell Dodson, with his athleticism and how versatile he can be, he's definitely a valued member in that regard. I will quickly touch on Tyler Matakevich. He's special teams and special teams only, and that's all there is to the story. The last three, Jamie, I want to hit on real quick. Andre Smith, who was brought back, along with Markell Lee and Tyrell Adams, who were signed via free agency deals. Of those three, I'm actually really excited to see what Tyrell Adams can do, whether 2020 was a fluke or whether he finally has realized some of his potential and can be a really solid depth linebacker. What are your thoughts on that trio?
I think that given the opportunity to play, he was able to put up some decent stats. He shows some very good instincts out on the field, but his game needs some work. He doesn't necessarily do well taking on blockers. He can be caught up in misdirections. Kind of sounds like a different linebacker on the roster, doesn't it? But he seems like the kind of guy who's on the rise, and it's great that Buffalo is looking at the depth is something that they needed to improve upon, because that going into this past season was something both of us were very concerned about, was depth at linebacker. We said, gosh, they really can't handle having too many injuries at linebacker. But lo and behold, that's what ended up happening. So here they are with Brennan Bean bringing guys in off the street, and the draft hasn't even happened yet, and the depth is already greatly improved. So Adams, I think this guy is probably going to get some time on the field, and hopefully he can play special teams too. As for the other guys, Markell Lee is just depth, may not make the roster. And Andre Smith, they love his special teams ability. So I would imagine he's going to stick around because he just got signed for a vet minimum.
Yeah, he's definitely an affordable guy and a good special teams contributor. Markell Lee has had flashes again in his career, but he just can't seem to stay healthy. He's good in recognizing the play in front of him, but if you're not on the field because of injury, what good is that talent out there? I think he's exactly that depth and competition for the team during offseason and during the preseason. And Adams, I'm actually really excited to see what the Bills can do with this guy, because his numbers, when you break them down, he was a better performer than Tremaine Edmonds, and Edmonds made the Pro Bowl in 2020. I was actually surprised at just how good of a player Adams was in his 1 year starting with the Texans.
I hope that what they're doing is bringing him in to push Edmonds, as a matter of fact, to say, hey, step up your game because we got a guy right behind you.
And he's young enough, and he's talented enough. He's not the best in pass coverage, but his abilities, you know, again, to just be a freak on the field, I think he's a really nice, low-risk, high-reward type signing. And the best part is, Jamie, exactly right. The Bills now have depth to play with, and when you've got guys at the bottom of the 53 who are scrapping to get their spots on the roster, they're going to push to make everybody else better above them. And I don't think the Bills have to worry about depth at this position because they've got guys who can come in and hopefully, you know, push each other so that, you know, the Bills can now focus on taking the best player available in the draft versus having to reach to get a linebacker to replace Matt Milano.
Absolutely. And you may see a linebacker get drafted anyway, because the Bills are at a point where they have most of their all of their starting positions spoken for, with the exception of maybe left guard. They're just bringing in good players wherever they can this offseason, and the depth, the improvement in the roster is going to be there, and I'm very excited to see what the draft is going to bring.
Well, it's been a fun recap here of the state of the linebackers on Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. Please get involved and give us your thoughts on Buffalo's linebacking core and what you think about the fifth-year option for Tremaine Edmonds and what Matt Milano brings to this defense. We'd love to hear from you. Get involved with us on social media. Jamie is on Twitter at the Jamie D'Amico, and I am at John Boccacino. You can also find us on our articles on buffalorumblings.com. Get involved, give us your feedback. We want to make this an interactive show, so give us your feedback. We'd love to hear from you. Jamie, thanks as always for waking up early and giving us your insights on the Buffalo Bills linebackers.
Man, there's nothing more gratifying than being John Boccacino's sidekick.
I'll take you at your word on that one, buddy, especially first thing in the morning here. So we appreciate our fans stopping by to check out Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. Our State of the Buffalo Bills offseason series turns to the secondary next week.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smart Water Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smart Water Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.